everybody, and welcome to NFT Tales, our podcast to talk about our adventures in NFT land. My name is Jonathan Smith of the Cardboard Boxer.
Hi, and I'm Rosio.
And I'm Jeremy Craig, or at Mr. Jerkdake.
And this is episode of the podcast titled, You Gonna Make It. So for today's episode, we have some cool news to talk about. We're talking about a little bit what we're into. But first, we're going to break down some current events of what's happened in the NFT land. So are you ready, Rosio?
I think so.
Let's get into it. All right, Jeremy, lead us off. What happened in Top Shots this week?
Oh, well, you know what we've been waiting on. I can now send moments, Dapper moments, Flow moments, and send them to non-custodial wallets or custodial wallets. I don't even know what the term would be. I can send it outside of, you know, Dapper and 2U. So,
oh, wow, like a real NFT.
Yeah, we took the training wheels off, so to speak. I was able to send a Top Shot moment to my Blockco wallet. They actually have a Blockco address that you can send these moments to burn. So that brings up a whole nother, you know, aspect of gameplay. But, you know, I tested on a $3 Tim Hardaway. Shout out to him. I'm going to burn one of his moments just to decrease the supply since I have 130 of those. But and good news for me, I heard Rocio's got her Top Shot account. So I sent you a Derrick Rose right before we went live. So you've got another Knicks moment in your portfolio.
Oh, no way.
Well, let's see. The also Top Shot came out with the metallic silver competition, which is something that's good because that's a fan series moment they've been running all year. But yeah, just big news in that, being able to transfer, you know, off chain. So
now, I mean, that's what we've wanted from the beginning with Top Shots. That's what I've been waiting for with Top Shots. I at some level, you get frustrated with Dapper and how it has this kind of like Web 2 built around Web 3 kind of motif going on. But then sometimes whenever they actually pull these things off, I'm sure the experience wasn't that bad. I'm sure it was fairly fluid. Like, they are really good at UX. I'll give them the credit. And at the end of the day, this is all software. You got to do good software design. I'm never going to hate on someone who's trying to innovate in the space, especially whenever they've got, you know, big players like the NBA signed up. So congratulations to everyone who probably put in a lot of time and effort to actually make that work out. Definitely makes Top Shots more real. Now, the next trick is, will there be a secondary market for Top Shots? Then it's real. Then we're off the chain. But that's not going to happen.
Well, I think they released a teaser about that. And that on Gaia Marketplace that we did our first set of transactions for your baller is actually going to be the secondary marketplace. Now, I don't know if that counts as a true secondary to you, but it's going to be one where there is a collection of other Flow NFTs, other NFTs, other collections, and you're going to be able to trade and sell and do things on that market.
Yeah, we'll see then. I won't say no. I've sold a thing on there, right? So I've actually, unlike so many markets, that's actually one that's being used. But you know, one thing that's kind of interesting also that's going on, I think, in NFTs this week, and it's been going on for a while, but it kind of finished up this week, is the KYC around the apes. Just tell people what that means, Rosa. You're the big ape fan of the group. We're always going to make you the ape professional in this group. So just tell everyone for that don't know, like at home. So what was this thing that they offered, and what does that mean that to like get signed up for it?
Just bringing it up to hurt me, a real shot to the heart to remind me
an open wound. That's right.
Yeah, to remind me that it's over. So it doesn't really matter. But that's what the news is that it closed. Everyone was mad about it. KYC means know your customer. So essentially it was just, I guess, Bored Ape asking everyone to dox themselves in a way, which, you know, I'm not really willing to do for anybody besides them. So I would have done it, and I tried to do it. And I know I'm not the only person who had a really tough time trying, because you had to take a picture of a form of ID and it wouldn't accept my driver's license. It took the front, but not the back. I took like a million pictures.
That's frustrating.
Yeah, and I tried multiple times. Like, I came back to it, and
that sounds exactly like my experience trying to buy Polygon this week, and it went to the wrong ERC or whatever. Like, just sometimes you get those moments in crypto where you're just like, I hate this, I hate this, I hate this, right? So
why are we here?
Now, was this KYC for the ape coin? What are we KYCing for? I guess is
nobody.
My confusion.
Nobody knows.
No one knows.
That's a whole other thing.
It's just, do you blindly trust them? Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't need to have one to have signed up for it. That was the other thing about it. It's just interesting to kind of see what comes out of it. So
is it know your customer or know your credentials? Because I've probably been saying it the wrong way the entire time. KYC.
Know your customer
is what the abbreviation is.
Okay, yeah, so I've been saying credentials, so I learned something tonight, but I've done
it. But it's really your credentials because you're uploading stuff like your driver's license and all that, right?
That's what it translates to.
And
yes, it was open to people without an ape. Everyone, just a disclaimer, I do not have an ape.
Yeah, she doesn't have one. She's just a fan of them, the biggest fan of them. That's her favorite blue chip. We all have our favorite blue chips, right? Jeremy has a favorite blue chip. I have a favorite blue chip. We all have our favorite blue chips. So,
but the KYCs typically come when you're doing like finance or you know, some sort of purchasing, right? Like, so to me, that means they're going to have a marketplace, or
usually they have that. They associate it with something like you get your Coinbase account and you hook in like your bank account to it. That's what people usually mean whenever they're like that level of thing. I think personally with this, I looked into it. I'll be honest. I didn't sign up for it partially because I didn't know Rosio got rugged. I would have signed up for it just to help you out. I didn't realize you're going to yell at me. I'm just not a huge fan. I just want my game. I know.
No.
But it was a mistake. I'll sign up for anything else they do now just to give it to you. No, I didn't even try. But I looked into it for other people because a lot of people asked me about it. Seems like doing the research, they were keeping a minimal amount of information to probably do some sort of like mailer thing or something like that. You know, like I don't think it was a big deal.
Will be a big deal. Everything they do is a big deal.
Mark this episode, Rocio. It's going to be a big deal, and we'll have to pull this segment and run a teaser clip in the future.
And it's especially going to be a big deal. You want to know why? Because I didn't fucking get in.
Yeah, that's Web3 in a nutshell. We get that.
We're calling it right now, April 5th, when this episode comes out. We're going to have to tag it.
Yeah, it's going to happen. So...
I got a side bit before you change subjects.
Sure.
Well, I guess it is a different subject, so I shouldn't say that.
Let it go.
The Diamond Dogs, you know, I bought that one NFT from Evan Mendoza, right? The Major League Pro Baseball player.
Okay.
It's the reason I thought about it. So I'll full circle. They're playing a charity baseball game, Diamond Dogs versus Bay Area Yacht Club members. And they're doing jerseys, and everybody's jersey gets to have one NFT from the collection on it. So Evan reached out to me and asked if I wanted my Diamond Dog on one of the jerseys. And I said, fuck yeah, can I get it on number 13? So in that charity baseball game between the Diamond Dogs and the Bay Area Yacht Club, one of the jerseys is going to have my Diamond Dog on it. It's going to be worn in the game, and then they're going to mail it to me.
What?
So that's my claim to fame. Yeah. That was my good news this
week. Yeah, that's a good piece of news. I'm about to say, yeah, you should drop that one. That's good.
That's awesome, bro.
Is awesome.
Birthday month starting early.
Yeah, that is birthday month.
Also, something else that's on top of that that is kind of news is that there's Bored Ape stuff that's at Zoomies now. You can go get it at the mall. I was going to go. I still may go this week and go get something. I think that's so cool. The people who own those apes are getting money from that. That's freaking awesome. I mean, isn't that the goal that we all
it
want
is.
Here?
It is finally a pop culture icon that came out of the NFT space. You never hear me hate on the apes because they're the ones that are defining the space right now. And I mean, anytime anyone just like says that maybe their bags, like the Cool Cat thing this week, will get bought out by whatever, it ends up being this, and who knows if it will. But even my frog went up whenever it was just in the video with one of their things. Like, you're right, they're the dominant force in the space, so you can't ignore what they're doing. They're cultural icons for sure. So. Okay,
we
real
love
quick.
You.
What? Okay. Well, I'm not anti-ape. It's just we all gotta have different things.
It's like we're not.
I like pixel art. I gotta like the punks the most, right? Wouldn't it be ridiculous if I didn't like the punks the most out of the elite of the blue chips or whatever, since I'm like the pixel art guy? I gotta stand on it like something, right?
No. All right.
It is pretty common theme for them.
Yeah. All right.
I'll let you have it.
I like the monkeys. I got the caked apes because I can't afford a real ape, but I love my caked apes because they're all tripped out.
That's cool.
He does like them.
I got to see your caked ape. Yeah, I like that.
You can't because it's not on open sea because it's still rugged off, isn't it, Jeremy? Yeah,
it is.
Cool. Yeah, but
I'll pull it from Looks Rare.
They put them, didn't they like try to make another marketplace for them or something?
They did. They called it brokensea.io. It's hilarious.
Yeah, that guy who made the rug stuff. I love him. Big fan of him.
Ding-a-ling, right?
Is that who it is?
Well, no, I think you're right. There's two people I think that do it. Ding-a-ling always posts the updates on Looks Rare, but I think the person that you're talking about that made that server for him is a different profile. I'll look it up here in a second.
Unless it's I'm not thinking of the right guy, but whatever. I still think it's cool what they did.
Agreed. So real quick, we're going to take a small break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk some more news and kind of just what we got going on. Talk to you in a second. All right,
John. This is, you know.
I know, it's me and her. All right, so Jeremy's heard this so many freaking times. He's just so sick of this conversation. He's so excited to be on this podcast. No, because this is important stuff for you to learn. So you know, okay, so you have NFTs. I've seen your wallet. They're all on Ethereum. You know what Ethereum is because you've bought it, right? And you've used it. And you have an Ethereum wallet. We all have Ethereum, right?
Correct.
So, but do you have any NFTs that are not on Ethereum? You have Polygon ones, I know. Anything other than Polygon?
I have Polygon, and then I have the Top Shot.
The Top Shot, which is on Flow.
Yep.
So Flow, we talk about a lot on the podcast we did earlier. That one I always call Blockchain with Training Wheels because the way they built it, it's basically a Web 2 experience. But with NFTs, you use your Google to like verify the wallets. You can pay with credit cards. Flow's meant to kind of be almost like an in-between space between outright e-commerce and like Amazon and something like full-blown Ethereum on OpenSea. And so it's kind of in that middle ground. But like I know you've heard of other NFTs on other blockchains, such as like Sol or Tezos. Like they're completely different blockchains. Cardano, they have their own NFTs that are separate from what's in Ethereum. But the Polygon stuff, as you know, Rosio, it's not quite separate, right? It all goes in the same wallet. So what is Polygon?
Is Polygon a sidechain?
Yes, that's right. It's a sidechain. It's a sidechain to Ethereum.
So I'm Ethereum and you're Polygon.
That's right. I'm the Polygon of your Twitter is what it really comes down to. And it makes perfect sense, too, because I'm so much cheaper. Yeah, I'm worth so much less. Like, so many fewer followers and all that. That's great.
No. I was going to ask, does that make me Bitcoin or Crow?
I'm also popping out more pictures. Oh, good one. Yeah, you're definitely Crow nowadays because you've been pumping it, man. You've been doing good. Yes. Okay, so what are these things? Let's define this. So you say sidechain. Do you have an idea what that concept means, Rosie?
Okay, so does that mean that Polygon like needs Ethereum in a way to work?
It does need Ethereum to work. It's built on Ethereum, but it also kind of doesn't. So
what does built on Ethereum mean?
So let's talk about that. So where something like the Flow, when you buy that Top Shot, you don't have to mess with Ethereum at all. You don't touch an Ethereum wallet. You don't have an Ethereum address. You have a Flow Dapper wallet and all that. It's just completely separate, right? Separate as your Amazon account is from your OpenSea account. Just completely separate, right? But the Polygon is natively integrated. Like you go into Polygon chain, you go into Polygon mode or whatever on your MetaMask. Like you use the same wallet software. We're using the same OpenSea interface. Most things on OpenSea that are listed in Polygon are listed in wrapped ETH, which is Ethereum that is wrapped on Polygon. And so if all these things are blockchains, And Bitcoin's a blockchain. Ethereum's a blockchain. Sol's a blockchain. Flow's a blockchain. Then all these blockchains are completely separate of each other. Like if Bitcoin went down, Ethereum code, they're not tied to each other in any way. With a side chain is a blockchain that kind of isn't a start of its own. So the way I like to think of it, I love analogies. I think the best way to explain things in the space is if you think about a path that doesn't get all the way to the road, but has to intersect into another path to get there, but it's still a valid path on its own. It just doesn't have any entrance to that path other than walking on some other path. With a side chain, the value that gets brought over from a primary chain. And with that primary chain, it's going to define the way that value works. So that's why most of the assets in Polygon are unwrapped Ether, because the thing that matters to Polygon is Ether. And you don't see stuff coming from other directions of Polygon. It's not connected to other chains. It's relying on Ethereum to run, or you wouldn't be able to get the wrapped Ether or whatever to use on Polygon. It's requiring Ether to continue to be a secure blockchain because its security is what's allowing this thing that gets wrapped on Polygon to be worthwhile. But the thing about Polygon is that Polygon being a side chain does not actually rely on for its security. So let me take a step back. Does all this making sense so far, Rosia? Ask me questions. That's the whole point of this.
Well, so Ethereum also needs Polygon?
So Ethereum, just good question. Ethereum does not need Polygon. Polygon tomorrow, no need for it. And that's why it's the side chain instead of the other way around. And so... No. So
a driveway kind of.
Kind of, sort of, except actually one of those sides is not open. One of those sides should be open. Erase one of those sides because it's more like a fork in the road. Because whenever you get stuff on Polygon, it stays on Polygon until you bridge it back the way you came. Basically, you go back the way you came in order to get stuff off of Polygon. You're using a bridge, is what they call it, to go back and forth. It's like if the path only connected in one place to that entrance path. And you, to leave the park, to go back to the park, whatever it is, you have to walk the same path. You just have to turn around and go back the way you came. There's no way to go forward to get there.
I got to walk I'm walking on the Polygon path, but in order to get home, I have to walk on the Ethereum path.
I mean, you can just stay on the Polygon path forever. I'll have NFTs that I'll never bridge or move over.
Right? In your analogy, yes.
Oh, yeah, in my analogy.
The other analogy he uses that I like even more is the math problem. Like in math, when a teacher says, don't show, or is that just...
No, hold on. That's an L2, though. So let's not get ahead of ourselves. But no, but that's a good point. So, okay. So it's a different blockchain. It doesn't use it. How I like to think of it, let me use a different analogy. I just have so many analogies, okay? Because that's how I end up explaining this so often. So there's a lot of countries in the world that don't have their own currency. They use the US dollar or the euro as their currency, even though they have their own system of government and they have everything else, but they don't even bother. Even though they're not part of the EU, they're not part of the US, they've just collected so much of that currency that they'd rather have a stable currency that's from some other country than like their own little currency that might be harder to control, that might have inflation, fluctuation, and all that sort of thing. And so another way that I often describe it is that it's almost like Polygon is one of those countries. Where it has to have Ethereum to exist, it has to have that base currency to exist, because it's not actually kind of controlling its fate in that. Like everything on Polygon that is this other currency wrapped up, and everything around that eco. And it's okay with Polygon, because the Polygon devs are really about building out Ethereum. In fact, one of the reasons I'm so bullish on Ethereum versus other L1s is because the Polygon devs are freaking boink. They're really smart devs. The current implementation of Polygon is kind of like their first shot. They just kind of got out in the market for anyone. And they kind of made a side chain accidentally. Not accidentally, but there wasn't any way to do any better whenever they built Polygon. So they just did it. And eventually they plan to integrate it back or some way to bridge that stuff to a true L2. So that's a side chain. It goes off in its own direction. It doesn't resolve back to Ethereum. If Polygon falls apart, if the servers stop working, if it gets hacked, all the value on Polygon gets lost because the math problem that is the crypto blockchain, the ledger, so to speak, is being stored on the Polygon network now. It's not being stored on the Ethereum network anymore. And so the moment you go to the sidechain, the security becomes as good as going to a completely different chain, like a Sol or something like that. You're up to how good the security of Polygon or any sidechain is. And so one last bit news item this week that I really want to talk about. So up until this point, by far the most successful game, NFT-based game, has been Axie Infinity, by far. Nothing else has had the same value to top to end. I mean, that in-game currency for a while was legit, like a way to get some real money and all that. So it's all based on a sidechain that those devs developed, because using Ethereum for all those calculations and stuff was too expensive. And so rather than not do it, basically, they were like, why don't we just build our own blockchain, you know, without hookers and robots or whatever, like the meme or whatever. And the idea was, is that's where all of the calculations would go for the game, that they were going to allow staking in their chain. And then you could own these stake tokens and all that. And there was all this economy built around Axie, and that AXE, I think, is the ticker for this thing. Anyway, so they had their own block. They had their own side chain, and it got hacked. And it didn't get hacked. I looked into the hack real good because I was really like, what happened over there? Because for a while, I've been kind of looking at them, and they've been flying high, really close to the sun, so to speak. And so I've always had an eye on those devs and what's going on with that project. I have nothing to do with it. I don't have any bags. Let's put it that way. But I keep an eye on it. And I looked into this more. And what I saw was that they just got a 51% hack, which anyone who is into crypto, that just means that they found a way to overwhelm the network so much that they didn't really hack the network. They just took the network over beyond the 50% requirement just to make it so they vote for themselves every time, kind of sort of the way it works. And so The there was only like 8 nodes or something like that, and really in the whole world or something crazy like that, 9, and they got 5 of them, and they Supreme Courted that SOB, and then boom, like it's over, right? You know, and it's really, I was blown away by
how many days. Like I read something that said 6 days, right, before they knew the hack was even done. Like yes. It was in place for 6 days before they knew.
Oh yeah, shit. So that's crazy.
This bridge, this Ronin bridge that was the thing that got the value off of Ethereum, you know, it basically apparently the guy got away with like, I don't know, $625 million.
I was gonna say initial was 530 and then it kept going up.
Yeah. And they were smart because they like they did calls against the token. So as the hack hit, they actually got liquidity off the whole market going upside down. And so they had a way to get that money and keep it away from, so they probably kind of abandoned the hack money or whatever. And then they got their liquidity. It's just nuts. Really savvy person. They sat on it for a while to execute it. What it showed me whenever I went through it is I don't want side chains. I don't want that bullshit. You don't want that bullshit. I went on a rant on Twitter for like 3 days about how we don't want side chains. I mean, I personally don't want other L1s, but I'm not going to be like maxi about it right now. That's fine. Other L1s will exist. I'll put it my charitable way, which is there's already gold. There's already silver. One day there'll be copper, and I'm fine with that. Okay? Just don't pretend you're more than copper, soul, or some other crap like that. But back to the main thing. Because we've got to teach Rosie what the difference between a side chain and an L2 is, which is the real way of going forward. So Rosie, in the side chain, goes off on its own. It's its own blockchain. It resolves back to itself. If it gets hacked like Ronin does, all that money's just gone. There's no way to go back to the Ethereum that it came from and said, hey, that $625 million that went off of Ethereum, can you get it back, Ethereum? No, because all the answers, all the ledger has got saved off on this other thing once it left the off on the Ethereum, the branch, so to speak, of that side chain. With an L2, L2s are things like Loop Ring, Arbitrum. With an L2, the security of the chain, it is a separate chain, but the security of that chain is not relied on the chain itself. Instead, and Jeremy, this is the example he was talking about earlier. If you think about back in high school or, you know, junior high, whenever you do math problems, and maybe you could just figure it out in your head, and the teacher would be like, no, you have to show your work. Like, you just can't put the answer down. You have to show your work, right? Right now on Ethereum, we are having to show our work on all this NFT stuff. Like, that's part of why gas is just so expensive. It costs so much to do everything. It's because we're doing all of the work and showing the work, both sides of it, on Ethereum, because it's overdoing it, because it's the only real place that we feel comfortable and safe doing those calculations right now. But with an L2, you could offload the calculations, kind of like Polygon is. I mean, Polygon's just over there doing calculations all day. That doesn't affect the Ethereum blockchain because it's another chain. So just like Polygon's, it's doing its own calculations. But unlike Polygon, that's saving all those answers on its own chain, with an L2, it gets put, the answer, so to speak, gets put back on Ethereum. So it does all the calculations over here, back on Ethereum. All the calculations over on the side, back on the Ethereum. And the advantage of that is if the L2 gets hacked, because all the answers are on Ethereum, then fine. It can blow away like the dust. It can blow up like Ronin. And that $625 million, you could just collapse right back onto the Ethereum blockchain. You'll lose the calculation power if the chain goes away, but you won't lose the answers, which is what really matters. And it's on the chain that matters, which is Ethereum. So the answers will work, so to speak. They'll be proven, work out in the marketplace. So that's what we want in this market, is we want L2s. We don't want side chains. I Axie guys got ahead of themselves to be a first mover market in this market. They're builders, and they just decided to build their way around a problem. We need to accept real not fake decentralization, real decentralization. That means you have to use Bitcoin or Ethereum. I'm sorry. You have to use, that has to be the base layer. So you have to build on that. And the best way to build on that is doing L2s. Does that make any sense, Rosie? Please ask me questions.
Yes. Okay. So you said not showing your work and something about calculations not being there or something like that too.
Right.
Does that mean like the way that we can see what's inside everybody's wallet, what every wallet is doing, what everything that moves all the time, does that mean we won't be able to see that on layer two?
So you wouldn't be able, on a layer two, what you wouldn't be able to see is the, like whenever you mint in that sort of thing, you're not going to see maybe the finality of the chain, but who goes through the smart contract anyway? How many people can actually follow the Ether scan to a smart contract and then go find that transaction within the smart contract whenever the smart contract is defining the transaction? So most people won't lose much. I'll put it to you that way. Like 99% of people will not lose much with layer
two.
When
you're on OpenSea and you click on the activity tab and you see that it says list sale or whatever, and it has you and then the person you sold it to, that stuff's still there. That's the answer portion of this. So the calculation.
But I mean, like, when people look at all, like, Ether scans and shit like that, like, will you still be able to do things like that on layer two?
It would need its own. So any asset that goes to layer two, because it's a different chain, will have to be wrapped, just like it goes to Polygon. So there's wrapped ETH on Polygon. There has to be wrapped ETH on these layer twos. And you're going to have to pay the gas the first time around to bridge this stuff over and wrap your Ethereum or wrap your NFT in whatever the wrapper is for these layer twos as they develop out. So,
but
yes,
they have Solana scan, Poly scan. Like, yes, they have the same stuff for other chains. The same Ether scan that you're talking about, they have Solana scan.
I've heard the other ones aren't as good. The Poly scan is pretty good. I looked at the Solana one. It's okay. We won't zip about Solana.
She just said, does it exist? So, yes,
it exists.
The theory and concept that you're asking, yes, that's exactly right.
But it won't be Ether scan because it's a different blockchain. Yeah. You're right.
That's why he's against it.
Basically, what I'm trying to say is the way that everyone, like, you can't hide anything, like, because everyone can see everything. Is it still going to be that way?
Oh, yeah, because the ledger will still be on Ethereum, where all the stuff that matters, which is value, will be traceable. So the calculations have never mattered. We do all the calculations on Ethereum. Okay, so what is Ethereum? Let's just do this from boom. Ethereum is a world computer. Ethereum is a way to execute code like a computer would, but not on a physical machine that has to be provisioned somewhere, but just kind of like in the ether. That's why it's called that. So that way, but it's a really slow computer, and it's a very hard to access computer. You have to know like smart contract code and all that. And in order to use it, you have to pay gas, which we all know from doing is very expensive. It's a very expensive to use computer.
It's a scam. Gas is a scam.
Well, and that's why gas is so expensive. No, 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 no. But seriously, that's why gas is so expensive, because right now we're doing it dumb. right now, because there aren't better computers and we only trust the security. So what Ethereum is, if it's not all these other things, it's secure. If the calculation happens on Ethereum, it'll happen. There's not a world government. There's not an institution. There's nothing in this world that will stop a calculation from going through an Ethereum, because it's decentralized enough at this point. So many people running nodes in so many countries and all that, that's literally unstoppable. And in Bitcoin, are basically at this point, literally unstoppable. And that's kind of the whole point of the whole crypto thing, is to get to that point. So Ethereum and Bitcoin have gotten there. And because of that, if anything that you do on that world computer will guarantee compute. So we've gone doink nuts. And we're doing like JPEGs on the world computer. They built this billion, there's Ethereum crypto guys that just have meltdowns about this daily. That's why I had to get off Reddit. It's because I was sick of the Ethereum sub and just people going on about NFTs. NFTs, smart contracts should be used for something more noble than JPEGs, when most of the Ethereum volume right now has been JPEGs, right? We know that because it's fun and we're not hating on JPEGs. We're in the NFT show, right? But we are right now, all the minting that we do with NFTs are happening, which is a bunch of smart contracts doing calculations and all that. Running code is happening on base Ethereum, or a lot of the stuff that we do with gamification that people want to do with NFTs, where you stake them and there's rewards, or like his murder bears where they're like fighting each other and stuff in the middle of the night. All that stuff costs gas if you do it on Ethereum, which gets very freaking expensive very quickly. And so that's why people get tempted by Sol and Polygon, because there isn't an L2 that's really good enough yet, but it's being built out. And once that L2 exists, you'll get the best of both worlds. You'll get the cheaper gas and calculations once you bridge over. Everyone's going to pay a big fee to go from L1 or Ethereum and then bridge the asset over to L2. But once you're on L2, it'll be like being on Polygon. When you send stuff on Polygon, it's like free almost. It's so cheap, right? And so the gas problem goes away. But unlike Polygon, unlike Ronin, unlike Sol, whenever one of them collapses or something, the math on an L2 goes back to Ethereum. So the security of using that L2 is just as secure as if you paid that extra to mint on Ethereum and so on and so forth. And so that'll be the real advantage. That'll be the thing. But getting there will take a lot of development. That's what a lot of smart people are working on. And we're not there yet, which is why we use stuff like Polygon and Sol and all that, because it's not there yet. Does that answer your question? Am I even close now?
I think so. So what layer 2 is out there?
So the one that I'm most excited about at this moment right now isn't really, it's not on OpenSea or something, so it's not there yet. But GameStop, and I've talked about this on the podcast before, GameStop is rolling out their own NFT marketplace. In order to do that, they're putting together two layer 2 aspects, one called Immutable X that does an NFT wrapper really well. I've played with it now and I can say that. And Loop Ring, which a lot of the nerdy Ethereum guys say is the best layer 2 as far as like doing the calculations and doing this thing called rollups that we'll get into some other day properly. Rollups basically is rolling up the ants, but anyway. So that's what I think is going to win, is this Loop Ring Immutable X combo, especially if like Coinbase or someone will like, oh yeah, that's the, basically whatever Coinbase picks. This whole industry is just waiting for Coinbase, right? Like we're all just in this holding pattern until the OpenSea killer comes from Coinbase. And I personally think they're going to pick a layer 2, and whatever they pick will be the de facto standard, and everyone's going to bitch about it, but that'll be the way it is in the end. Move on. Unless the apes pick a different layer 2. That's the only way that... No, seriously, no. The apes tomorrow could move all the ape assets to layer 2 and say, this is the new winner in the market. Suck it. And then within a week, OpenSea would be running that layer 2, and you'd be so bridging wallets across and everything. It'd be nothing, right? So that's what will make it move eventually. What's not the right answer is more freaking side chains or more freaking layer ones without the security of Ethereum or Bitcoin. So I hate it for people. And it sucks if you have a project that costs a lot to do things, you have good ideas, you want to be an innovator in the market, you're just basically flipping me off right now, and that's fine. Don't listen to me. Go do your thing on Sol or Flow or wherever it makes sense. But from my standpoint as someone into NFTs, as soon as I saw that thing happen, I was like, okay, this is why we don't want to invest in these type of marketplaces that you can't always rely on the value. I will bridge my Polygon assets back one day. Like the stuff I love, it's coming back to Ethereum. I've already been looking into how to do it because I don't trust Polygon in 20 years. I trust Ethereum till I'm dead. It'll be running till I'm dead.
So then you have to help me get all the things that I love off of.
I know. I'm figuring it out for everyone. I'm your tech support. I'll make sure I'll get it done for you too. Like Jeremy has ones too. I'll get it all off. And by the time that that's even looking like a thing, there'll be other solutions, but that's the kind of thing that just happens abruptly. Just one day Polygon's going to go, you know what? We have this other chain over here. It's done. I'll move your shit. Like, one we're done with it.
Migration.
Yeah, right. Oh, but didn't work perfectly. Sorry. We got most of the bill over, so. Oh, you're the one
that got contacts from your old phone to your new phone. I mean, what are you complaining about? We got 85 of the 150. It's okay, right?
Polygon guys are move fast, break things. And I like that about them. Ethereum needs that. They need both things. They need the stable alien man sitting there just freak. Like, I like reading his blog, okay? I read his blog. I understand his blog sometimes. And he's really into this whole thing, like decentralization, making it so that the security of Ethereum is really well done and all that. So you have this guy doing that. Let some guys go nuts on the calculations and make it easier. Gas sucks. Let's fix both problems, you know? And I think sidechain is the way to get there, but I don't know. It's going to take progress. Is this all making sense, Rosie? Do you feel pretty good about sidechains then?
No, yeah, hell no. That's a long ramble. Like, she's going to get it all in one conversation.
I mean, I kind of get it. I'm learning. I'm still learning. But
well, luckily, as anyone who's listened to this podcast knows,
I definitely know more than I did before.
There we go. And we will come back to it, of course, because I'm always ranting about L1s, L2s, sidechains. I mean,
as you said, my murder bears, my bloodshed bears are all P2E, and it's all on the secondary chain. Most of my Llamaverse stuff is on the secondary chain because they've all figured out it's not worth the cost to do it on Ether. So you have your main NFT on Ether, or Ethereum, sorry, and then you run everything else on the secondary. So it's
a multi-chain future. Yeah, it's a multi-chain future.
It's going to be part of our conversation and subject for many, many more podcasts.
Don't worry. We always come back to it. Oh, my gosh. Okay, but Rosie has big news. So on our way out, we kind of buried the lead this week. But I think the best news of the week is going to come from Rosie. So tell everybody, Rosie, why do we call the podcast this week what we did?
Oh, shucks. It's nothing special.
Oh, my gosh.
Big deal. Just went and got inked up because I'm a real Web3 degen.
Right, we're the culture.
Yeah,
love it.
Culture,
no cap. Oh, yeah,
for real. Okay, so I just got a small UGMI, all lowercase. It's actually a straight up screenshot from a tweet that I tweeted seconds before I actually got it done, because so he could actually print it out right there. And it's just a little reminder to myself that I'm going to make it. It's facing towards me on my arm, not for other people to read, for me to read, to remind me that I'm going to make it. You're going to make it, bitch. You're all going to make it too, but it's for me. So.
No. Yeah, she's going to make it more. So one thing that she did tweet this week that I thought was awesome is she tweeted how much she did two screenshots of her Fowler account. It wasn't even a month ago, was it, huh?
It was February 7th.
Okay, it's February. Okay, to today, and it has been more than doubled, right? Almost tripled, right? So that's definitely that's some impressive stuff right there.
Thank you. So, thank you. Yes, engagement, baby.
You know, you're getting out there more. So you're on our podcast now. I'm so happy that we got our reservation with Rosio, so to speak. And you're also in the friend zone. You want to talk about that a little bit?
The friend zone is every Thursday right now at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. something else. I don't know what it is.
Pacific.
It's just Pacific. Yeah, that's what it is. There we go. Thanks. And that's me and Youthquake and Nelly and Gems. And we talk about, a lot of times it's like real life things and Web3 things together, or, you know, it's always something different every week. We have a lot of fun though.
It is a lot of fun. I'm the biggest fan of this particular, spaces. I love to get on and hear them vibe with each other. Y'all should definitely catch it. They have a lot of experience in Web3 between them and also in media content. I know a lot of people that listen to stuff like podcasts and all that are really into media and content and all that. Rosio is an influencer. Nelly has a really interesting experimental collections on OpenSea. No, it's true. Both Youthquake and Gems have worked in the industry themselves directly on some cool stuff. And so
does Nelly. Hollywood. Nelly has worked in the industry.
That's too. True. Nelly's worked in the industry too. I'm not trying to deny her credit.
I'm just saying they all do.
I don't think she listens to the podcast, but she does. I'm sorry, Flower Queen. But overall, they're really awesome. I think that that's great. So y'all should definitely tune in Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific or 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, because we in America, if you couldn't guess. So
yes, sorry, I didn't know the other time.
No, it's okay. I'm the biggest fan. I know
the owner of your UGMI.eth ENS domain. So if you need me to help broker a deal for that, I think I can probably get you that ENS domain name. I don't know, though. I know who owns it. I got to find out if he'd be willing to sell it.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Ooh. So I'm going to take your tweet with your tattoo, and I'm going to tweet at him and tell him that you might be interested in hearing about it. So I'm going to see if I can help broker that deal for you this week. That's going to be
all right. You got to wait. I didn't tweet it yet.
No, she has a plan for this. That's her GM. Is that your GM? GM, I got a... No, don't tell me.
Oh, maybe. It might be. I haven't decided my GM.
No, you're so good. I follow your lead. It's almost like one of those things where I don't want to get in the pool.
It's
because, like, the pool's perfect, you know? Like, I'll wait and see what you do, because you know what you're doing. You have such a knack for it. Anyway, okay, so we're going to go ahead at the moment and take one final break, and then we're going to be signing out. Okay, let's do it. All right, Famous Rosio, where did they find you?
At Rosio _PNG on Twitter.
There we go.
You can and then find Jeremy. Me at the same at Mr. Jerk Dake.
You can find us at NFT Tales Podcast. If for some reason you're listening to this and you didn't follow that first, be sure to go follow. That's where we'll put out information about the podcast throughout the week.
Go follow it. Go do it.
And recently memes. I'm going to put memes on there. I'm apparently meme king. So get ready for more of that from us. That's not my Twitter handle, though. I'm at Poofy Hair Guy. Whenever you look, you'll see Cardboard Boxer. That's kind of my more modern handle. Most of the time I'm a little frog, but I like to play around with it. We really appreciate y'all listening to the podcast this week. We'll be talking to y'all next week, and y'all have a good one.
Bye.
Adios, y'all.